Before we get started with today's episode, we'd like to thank all of our Patreon patrons. Your support keeps this podcast running, and we can't thank you enough. If you're not yet a patron and looking to support the pod, you can check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/BingeTownTV. You can also find it on our Instagram and website, BingeTownTV.com. Right now, we have two tiers available, Binge Townie and Binge Town Homie. The first tier, Binge Townie, is just $2 a month and is available if you just want to send some support our way. With this tier, you'll get a shout out from us on the podcast. Our second tier, Binge Town Homie, has all of our exclusive content. This tier is $5 a month, and you get exclusive patron-only podcast episodes, early access to our celebrity interviews, exclusive patron-only unedited celebrity video interviews, plus a lot of other bonus material. We appreciate all of your support and hope you all join the fun because our exclusive episodes are going to get wild. All right, now let's get this show started.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? We are BingeTown TV. This is Jimmy. I'm Kathleen. We're here with moderator, producer Matt, who I missed very much from my favorite episode years and days. We are here to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Scream, me and Jimmy's favorite movie of all time. Collectively, it bonded us as siblings. So we're going to go through questions and debate things. But the funny part is we're glad Matt is here because me and Jimmy have the same exact opinions on literally everything. So I feel like when we were kids, this is the first scary movie I probably got shown.
That I showed you?
Yeah, when I wasn't supposed to. Yeah. And it's the best. It revitalized the genre. Mm-hmm. What do you got to say?
It came out in 1996, so I was 6 years old. And I guess by 1997 is when it was out on DVD, VHS. And I remember being babysat, and Kathleen, you were obviously there, but you were 3 years old.
Yes.
There was a Blockbuster right near our house, and the babysitter rented Scream, and I was still awake. Kathleen was in bed, and I came downstairs, and I said I wanted to watch, too. And she says, no, you can't watch. Yeah, so I'm hiding behind her, and she's like, all right, fine. I'll show you one part, and you can decide if you want to stay. And I said, okay, I'm 6 years old. Let's see what's good here. Well, she shows me the part with Drew Barrymore hanging by the tree, and I was like, I'm out. But I guess by the time Scream 2 was already out, Scream 3 may have been on its way out. I was probably 13-ish, and that's when I started to really get obsessed with it. And I, of course, showed Kathleen way too young, and I showed our other BingeTown member, Luke, when he was way too young, too. But yeah. The rest was history.
Yeah. I mean, I think this influenced the type of horror I like, too. I'm a big slasher gal. I love ghosts like Haunting of Hill House, but I don't like paranormal things. I don't like dolls coming to life. I like things that could actually happen in real life. Like another favorite scary movie of mine is The Strangers, which is just people coming because you're home. They're killing you because you're home. That's
because
the reason
you were there.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that stuff better than, say, like fucking Annabelle or something, which I'll still watch. I like getting scared. I like the scare of it all, but I'd much prefer a slasher with real people. And so these people did it four times for us. And we love all four.
We do love all four.
Maybe not three.
Maybe not three. But 1996, this movie came out. And at that time, Matt with Horror Movie Night knows the deal. I mean, horror was on its way down a little bit around that time. And Scream kind of revitalized the genre. It was a satirical movie, kind of making fun of the horror quips, but at the same time, still utilizing them, but also scaring you.
So I sent you guys some debate topics, but I want to throw you a softball one before we get into the actual debates here, because you brought up a really good point. Do you think after Scream, it would ever be possible to not do a meta slasher film?
No. there's got to be rules. They have to be self-aware. I feel like that is revitalizing the genre means that this is the new way of doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Because that's everything I like, right? Like, even, I would say, like, Happy Death Day is something I really like, which is a slasher, and that's very self-aware. That formula is something that I'm drawn to, and I look for in something. That's my favorite thing about Scream. I mean, it's got to be, like, don't fuck with the original. Like, you forgot one thing about sequels, don't fuck with the original. Like, things like that, it's A+.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people also forget, too, that Scream got pretty mainstream. I mean, a lot of people see horror as more of like a side genre, or specifically a genre that's not going to be the big mainstream actor thing. And we've been knocking that one out of the air for the last couple of years, obviously, with big actors taking on these roles. But until 2018, Scream was the highest grossing slasher film of all time. And when it's adjusted for the money based on time periods, it's still the highest grossing.
What's
slasher.
It over?
Halloween in 2018, the remake.
Yeah. And I guess that's why I asked that question, is like the only slasher movies I think that get made that aren't meta are usually remakes to films that existed before Scream.
Right.
But like any other original slasher film that you've done, it's been something like Final Girls or Cherry Falls, mm-hmm. or these movies where you have to have an intimate knowledge of slasher films and the rules of slasher films to be able to just sit and enjoy them. Which I will, just because I mentioned it, if you've never seen Cherry Falls, it was a movie that unfortunately got pulled out of theaters pretty much. It came out the week of Columbine, and they were not really interested in putting out a movie with a bunch of dead teenagers. But the premise of Cherry Falls is that the killer only kills virgins. So all of the students are trying to organize a giant school orgy before before they can get killed.
Randy, better hurry up and get laid.
Yeah, right? I love that.
And I guess, are we ready to dive into the first debate
topic?
Yeah, let's
do it.
Yeah, I will say, preface this by, I haven't watched Scream yet this horror season because we're going in to see it in theaters on Sunday.
Nice.
So because they're for the 25th anniversary, they had two nights they could go in theaters and see it. So I wanted that to be the first time this season to see it, even though I've seen it 1000 times. It's not going to like change my opinions. It's just not as fresh as if I were to watch it.
I thought it'd be a lot more interesting for us to do these debates without having just watched it.
Yeah.
Especially one of the debates / questions that's coming up about who killed who, meaning Stu or Billy.
Yeah,
I think that's coming off the top of our heads. I think that's more fun to do than to actually just rewatch the movie and make our decisions.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do we want to start with that one then? Who killed who?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it. So I have some notes here. And again, I did it all through my head, but I actually did notes for every time Ghostface comes on the screen.
Yeah. That's
do we think
dope.
That it's Billy or Stu?
Okay.
Okay. So obviously, number one, we're not going to go Maureen Prescott as the first death.
Actually, I'm going to take a quick pause. I want to ask you guys a quick question leading into you going through this list.
Mm-hmm.
Without looking at your notes, off the top of your head, who do you think is in the Ghostface costume more, Billy or Stu?
I honestly think it's Stu.
Stu, I would say.
But it's tough because none of it is ever confirmed, right? Like, it's not confirmed who's who. You can make educated guesses, right? Like,
yeah.
But I don't know, because I was only really thinking of the big kills, which I feel like favors Stu.
Yeah.
In my head.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But I feel like Billy's always on the phone and Stu's doing the like wacky, like clumsy fucking Ghostface stuff.
Goddamn, yeah. If Ghostface isn't a clumsy
the
motherfucker.
Clumsiest really motherfucker of all time. Yeah. Which is very Stu like as well, even though he's clumsy always.
Right. I mean, that's the other good thing about Scream, too, though, is because you have this serial killer, you have this scary, whatever villain, and it's a regular person. So, of course, they're not anything supernatural. They're not martial artists. They're going to get their ass kicked, or they're going to be clumsy. And it's a real person, you know? So I thought it was really cool how they did that throughout the three, four movies.
But anyway, yeah. Okay. So,
all right, so we're not going to start with Maureen. We could talk about her at the end if you want. So the first one would be Steve.
Yeah, that's definitely Billy on the phone, Stu killing both of them. Did you have the same?
Yep. So,
yeah.
Stu's ex is Casey Becker.
Yeah.
They say that. They did for like, what, a few seconds?
Yeah.
So,
Liver
yeah.
alone.
Yeah. So Stu murdered both of them, I have, and Billy's on the phone. Obviously, in this first scene, I'm guessing they both have to either be, they're both there. Now, are they both in a costume, or are they sharing the costume? You know, Billy obviously has to be around to see what's going on so he could be aware of what to say on the phone and to let Steve kind of know.
I thought the same thing, but there's no way that the ghost face we see is also using a phone.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Like,
right,
so it's,
right.
I think it's, and then of course he climbs up Sid's, whatever.
Wait, we'll get into that in a second.
Okay.
So,
and then the phone drops
say,
out of his pocket.
I would imagine my guess would be that Billy's doing the phone calls. probably not in costume. Maybe in costume for like one quick scare where it doesn't make sense how Ghostface could be basically in two completely locations.
Mm-hmm.
But I think once the carnage starts with Stu, that is the moment that Billy's like, all right, now I got to go build my alibi and go over to Sydney's house as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I did want to bring up is, you know, Stu kills Casey. And, you know, when she pulls the mask off, she obviously looks like she knows the person. And she knows Stu and Billy, so I guess that doesn't mean that much. Yeah. But are we going to assume that Stu hung her up from a tree by himself? A full-grown woman, pretty much? Or, you know, either way, he's still the one who killed her. But I'm just asking, you know, I'm just wondering if Billy was there.
Suspend your disbelief.
Well, there's going to be plenty of suspending it. I have some things I want to talk about, too. Yeah.
We have to remember that, like, when we're talking horror movies, we also had to buy that a man dying of cancer was able to drag multiple bodies to different warehouses in the Saw movies.
Yeah.
Got factoring in the weight of a human body is something you just got to shut off in your brain when you're watching these movies.
Yeah, fully.
All right. So now,
wait, let me guess. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So then I guess the next one is when Sid falls asleep, mm-hmm. which is like, honestly, one of my nightmare, like this is one of the scarier scenes in the trilogy, I think, because that one of my least favorite things in the world is going to bed or napping during the daytime and waking up at night because you like didn't turn any lights on in the house. And then you wake up in the dark and it's just like super eerie. And that's a real life thing. It's exactly what she does in the movie. And it's fucking scary. That's one of the ones that's like that could happen. You go to bed. It's dark out. You're the home alone in the house. Someone comes. It's really scary. Another one that this is from Scream 3, but haunts me to death is when I was a kid, at least not anymore. It's corny now, but when she's napping and sees her mom through the window, always was like a big scare for me. But okay. So honestly, that one could be, I mean, Billy's the one who climbs through the window.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's gotta be Billy because he's the one with the, I mean, he's the one with
the phone, but that's the thing.
No, the personal, like, he wants to, I feel like he wants to get Sid. So I would say Billy only in that way.
So you're saying Billy's on the phone and who attacks is what I'm asking. Because we're saying who is the one that is actually in the outfit when she gets attacked.
I think he could be on the phone in the closet when he comes out.
No. Stu's in the costume. Stu's in the costume and Billy's on the phone because the way it has to work is like, it sounds like you're right. You're 100% right.
What am I doing? That's what she does. Come on. That's what Sid does.
I'm just letting you fix the mic first. You're embarrassing me.
Sid.
Am I doing? Yeah, I mean, Billy's obviously talking to her because Billy's the one who actually has like animosity towards her. You know, this is where you see him not being goofy. This is him actually having animosity. Stu attacks her. You know, there's no way that when he's at the door and she's holding him off and he's swinging the knife hilariously through the door that he disappears and then all of a sudden Billy comes through the window. It can't be Billy in the costume there. So also when it comes to the way that they're doing their plan, you know, they talk on the phone via her dad's cell phone, but Billy drops his own cell phone so that it's part of the plan where he can get caught and then be proven that he wasn't actually the killer.
Yeah, that's okay.
So Billy comes in through the window. Stu's the one attacking. That's my opinion.
All right, fine, you dick.
I'm going to go with Jimmy on this one as the moderator.
There you go.
That's definitely a much better argument for sure. Okay.
All right, next one is...
Wait.
She wants to guess.
Oh.
The next one in the bathroom when the footsteps down.
I would love to talk about this one.
I have a wild theory on this one.
The sparkly costume that comes down over those boots. I love that scene. Mm-hmm. It's so good. But also just a very sad scene with Sid when they're talking shit on her in the stalls.
But yeah.
And being like, she's a slut just like her mother. It's like, ooh, baby. I don't think Billy says that later. They say something like that.
She heard it on Ricky Lake, dude.
Karen Ricky.
I want to hear yours first. Okay. And then I'll say what I think mine is.
Kathleen, you want to go first or do you want me to go?
So Sid runs out and bumps into Billy, right? Correct? Doesn't she? No, that's a later scene when
Billy
he's like,
and her bump. They get in an argument and then she goes to the bathroom.
He's like, you still think it's me? Right? Yeah, then it's Stu. And so then isn't she outside when they go to the party?
Right. So here's my problem with this. And there's going to be two more of these. I don't think that this is either of them. Yeah,
that's my guess too. I think it's a red herring, and I think it's the kid that the principal's yelling at later for running around wearing the costume.
Yeah, I think it's a horror quip that's hilarious because they're going with this like making fun of it satire thing, but obviously she hears Cindy, which is really sketchy because you're supposed to think it's either Billy or Stu, but the killer doesn't have a knife with him. It's just you can't be Billy. Stu, like you said, is not able to really be in the area. How would either one of them be able to guess? You know, the popular theory, which I had to look this up years ago because it annoyed me, kind of like what you're saying, Matt, where I kind of thought it would just be someone random. I think a lot of people do think that it's just like a coincidence that the person was in there and it's someone random. But again, you got to accept some certain, you know, some things.
Wait, that makes that so cool and good. Like, that's really good, except for the fact that, like, why didn't they let us know that type deal? Like, because that's very cool that it could be a red herring. Also, it could be the killer from Scream 3.
Could be Roman.
Her half-brother.
Yeah, let's go with that theory. It's Roman.
That's fine.
That would make the third movie make a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, the third movie that definitely screams Kevin Williamson didn't write this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll never forgive whoever leaked that script because the rewrite, who knows what would have happened.
Brutal out here. Gotta do Olivia reference. Yeah, okay.
Guess, your turn. You're always guessing.
Oh, next. Yeah. Okay, so the next is the principal.
Mm-hmm.
And
The Fonz.
And you little shits. I hate when, I always think it's so aggressive when he's like, has the scissors and like chopping it. He's so
put it up to their neck. Yeah, 100%.
It's like he's justified in being pissed off about, like, those kids are definitely in the wrong.
Yeah,
he's fully going about it completely the wrong way.
Right, exactly.
I say that is, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Okay.
Stu?
No.
Billy. I meant to say Billy.
All right. So here's,
I would lean towards Billy too. Just because like Stu's killing everybody right now.
I feel like this one has to be a definite though for Billy, because if you think about it, they're setting up the party, right? Stu's the host of the party. The whole party gets set up. Stu's doing that whole thing.
Mm.
Then it's the reason why everybody leaves except for Sydney, Randy, Tatum's dead, blah, blah, blah. All the kids leave because the principal's hung up on the flagpole.
Mm.
So really, if Stu's setting up the party and being the host, it only really makes sense for Billy to be the one who could do that.
Who's in the grocery store?
I think this is the other one that you were talking about.
Two more. Yeah, we might as well hit those two because the grocery store and then the one where they're in the woods.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Stupid.
Suck. Yeah.
Yeah. The grocery store, I think, is that ever cut out of the movie? Because I feel like I've seen it once when was waiting for the scene and it never came. I'm like, did they cut it?
Maybe like a TV edit. They're like, this doesn't make sense. Let's just not put it in there.
But I do love when Dewey's eating that strawberry ice cream cone and the sheriff is smoking a cig and he's eating an ice cream cone. It's just like perfection character writing. It's just so good. But those are dumb as rocks.
Your guess is as good as mine with those. I'm not even going to attempt at it. It's just stupid.
I always landed on, it's most likely red herring.
Right.
But like, even that doesn't make sense because like, there's people being murdered in town and you're in a crowded grocery store and no one's going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, so I always wondered if that was supposed to be just like a psychological moment, like it's just like, this is like Sydney's fear. I don't know. It's bad. It deserves to just not be in that scene.
Yeah, I mean, both of them are technically. So with Sydney in the grocery store, does she see it
She doesn't.
So both of them are not seen by her. So it's really couldn't be psychological unless you're just kind. I don't know.
Yeah,
like I think the culprit is screenplay writing 101, where you need a scare there.
I was actually going to say part of me thinks that the writing just straight up didn't translate, or like maybe whoever wrote it had a vision and it did not
go
how they wanted it to go.
Yeah. I mean, again, sometimes you just have to accept these things.
Yeah.
But in the spirit of this debate, I'm not allowing it.
I feel like
you're right, Kathleen. Like, I feel like that scene actually makes more sense if Sydney sees the reflection and then turns around and there's nothing there.
And the same thing with the woods. Like, she's having that argument with Tatum and she's a little upset because Tatum's kind of being like, you know, your mom, maybe she was a little sketchy. And you know, and then if she looks and sees the ghost face in the woods, it's like another psychological thing. Like, that would have been perfect.
Mm-hmm. True. Okay. The next one is Tatum.
Tatum.
Our girl Tatum. Yep. I want to be in the sequel. I love that shit. She's the beer wench. That's like beer wench. Such an iconic kill.
Yeah, in the coldest garage I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my God. She was never getting out of that. It's like in one scene, she's through it to her waist, and then in the next scene, she's only up to her tits. Like, it's so bad. It's so funny. Like, the cuts don't match up. I love it. That's something like you notice when you've seen it 8,000 times, and you're staring at her tits.
1996 with the doll getting squished into the garage door.
Right. So, that's definitely Billy.
Okay. So I don't have it definitely here. I say Billy as well.
I don't think Stu would want to kill Tatum.
So my whole thing is that Stu's, again, hosting the party, right? Billy's not at the party. So he has the excuse not to be there, okay? But the thing that I want to bring up is that, okay, there's two things. One is that the guy, Ghostface, comes in through the inside door.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
Second thing is somebody had to lock her in. So maybe it's Billy, you know, Stu secretly lets him in and then Billy locks them in. I don't know. I mean, I still go with Billy on this one. I just think that Stu's kind of busy.
Also, it's kind of crazy that, like, that's where the beer is.
Yeah.
And nobody sees Tatum, until
Sydney sees
it. No, I was going to say, I think what's even more illogical, same vibe that you're going with, you've got 50 kids that are running out of a party to see a corpse hanging on a flagpole when there's a corpse dangling right outside the house.
Yeah, right.
Not a single one of them was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. What the hell's Tatum doing here freaking hanging?
Yeah, that sucks. I just don't think, because Stu is a softy, right? Like, in the end, my mom and dad are going to be so mad at me. Yeah. Like, he's a stupid kid who's being peer pressure. He doesn't, like, he's killing certain people, but I don't think he'd want to kill his girlfriend. I know he killed his ex and he killed this person and he killed the principal, who's a dick. And you know what I mean? Like,
Billy killed the principal.
Yeah. Let's clarify that right now.
Come on, Kathleen.
Okay. But also I feel like
they
agree on who's dying.
Yes.
And you have to assume that they were deciding when the first kill was going to happen, and Stu was like, let's go with my ex
and
her new boyfriend, you know?
But I think the flip side is, if Stu's a man that's involved in this plan, there is no way that they get away with this with Tatum alive, because she isn't going to leave that house.
Yeah, true.
Yes, right, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how much he loves her, wants to keep her around, she's collateral damage at that point.
Yeah, right. She was his alibi at one point when she had to obviously be lying, because she says Stu was with
me
all night.
All night.
Yeah, exactly. When she wasn't, when he wasn't. So, all right, Kathleen, what's next?
Next we got Kenny.
Okay, so let's rewind for a second, because I want to talk about.
Obviously, this is easy.
Going through the house after Billy gets attacked,
and then Randy's like, "Oh no, man! Look behind you!"
Behind you.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we know that Billy gets attacked. It's obviously Stu. Okay.
Yeah.
You like or was it
I'm
Roman?
Just listening.
Was it Roman?
Yeah, Roman.
We're just throwing in the Roman theory.
Yeah. So,
They paid
at
us
that
to
point,
say
it. There's the situation where we have Ghostface coming up behind Randy, Sydney, and Kenny are watching it on the monitor. Who is it there, Kathleen?
I think it's Stu the whole time, because isn't Billy banging Sid upstairs?
Well, Billy is stabbed. You know, he's chilling, you know, so he comes down the stairs after being stabbed. So that whole entire time he had to stay upstairs.
Yes.
So yeah, I say that's Stu as well.
Yeah. They kill Kenny.
They do kill Kenny.
I love that. That's a good one. I love when Courtney Cox like yells at him to get the fuck off of.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, get the fuck off my windshield.
Yeah, yep.
She's such a savage in all the movies. Couldn't have these movies without Gail.
No.
Could not.
No
she's
way,
excellent
man.
In these.
She's so good.
Even her haircut in the third one.
I was going to say, maybe not those part three bangs, but.
Yeah. David Arquette owned up to the fact that he was the idea for that haircut.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
But then I guess Sid in the car is still Stu. And then they run in and she's like, fuck you both. And then he comes down the stairs Anthony Perkins psycho, and then we are, and then we're done.
Everything is the reveal. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, then Sid has the rest of the kills, baby. Bam.
Stu obviously is the one checking on Gale. So yeah, I think we got everything. I mean, for the most part, I think we're right on almost everything except, you know, it's up for interpretation on Tatum.
You know. Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
That one's almost as like, it's almost as complicated as the grocery store to me because there's holes in both options.
Right.
With that one.
Agreed. I just don't think that Stu would be the one to do that one. Like if he, I think if he had to compromise, he'd be like, okay, then you're doing it. I'm not fucking doing it.
Yeah.
It's a brutal, I mean, they're all brutal kills, but this is like him just taunting her on the stairs being like, please don't kill me, Mr. Ghostface. I'm going to be in the sequel. And he's like,
yeah,
like the classic. I love it. At the end with the knife.
Now I'm thinking about it too. Stu's definitely the more brutal killer between the two, though, I think.
He's just clumsier.
Because he rips, no, because he slices open that stomach to let all the guts spill out, especially if you see the extended art, like X-rated version. It is fucking disgusting how much those spill out of that body. Then he's like,
hangs Casey,
and then just straight slits the throat of Kenny, the cameraman. Like, those are all pretty.
Yeah.
Like, that's like bloodlust level.
Like, but also,
I mean,
like,
here's the deal. If you're going to agree to this plan, you're messed up.
True. You know? But, like, I feel like Billy kind of, I mean, I guess he stabs the principal, but, like, Tatum's death is ultimately kind of hands off. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
True.
He just, like, flipped the switch and walked away.
Yeah. And also, like, it seems more like a Stu fight than a Billy fight just because of the whole, like, throw the refrigerator door and knock them down, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. But, like, the clumsiness seems like it's Stu, but I still go with it being Billy.
Because Billy shows up right after that.
Yeah. I mean, you can argue too that Stu's crazier than Billy just because Billy
has a motive.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Billy is like
absolutely
screwed up because of this whole thing with the Maureen and his mom. And
Billy says, how about this for a motive? Your stepmother was fucking my father, whatever. And then Stu's like, wait, really?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Stu's like, oh, I thought we were just killing people.
Yeah,
bro.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Well, I'm so glad we didn't watch before.
I know, right? Yeah. I took my notes literally like an hour ago, so I'm glad they were all off the top of the head. I would like to look it up and see if there are any confirmed. The only thing I do remember looking up years ago was the bathroom one.
Yeah. Look, and I think it makes sense for it to be a red herring for sure.
That's awesome. That's news to me. That's cool. Cool.
Cool. Right.
Next.
All right. Next topic.
All right, guys, let's take a quick pause here because I have something I want to talk to you about. Spooky season is here and we couldn't be more excited. If you're anything like the Bingetown crew, then I know you're craving some spooky content. Movies, TV, podcasts, you name it, and we'll try it so we can fill our spooky needs. Well, one thing I personally have never really given a chance to are horror books. Well, I'm ready to jump into some juicy horror books, and I have just the book for us all, The School Bus by Richard McCrohan. On one tragic October day, a school bus on its way to a third grade field trip filled with children becomes involved in a horrible accident along a lonely mountain road. The loss of life is terrible and sends the town into a tailspin. 10-year-old Jimmy, I like that guy's name, Jimmy Freeman, and his four friends have heard all the stories and rumors of that horrific event and want to go and see the site for themselves. But there are some things that are better left alone. The School Bus by Richard McCrohan is a terrifying ghost story in the vein of Stephen King and Stand By Me. Available on Amazon in paperback and ebook or on audiobook at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. The School Bus by Richard McCrohan, if you dare. And Kathleen, I know that you are a huge Stephen King and Stand By Me fan, so I think this is the perfect book for you. All right, so the next topic was going to be best quote from Scream 1 or
shit.
Scream 2 versus Scream 4.
Okay,
which one do you want to do
first? Let's do quote because that's easier.
I want to say a lot of them because I want you to have them in your head because we kind of talked about this before and we pretty much had two answers. And what's your favorite scary movie? Matt excluded that. He said it cannot be an answer. So I think there's two between us, but I want to start saying some because with me saying them, I was like, damn. These are some pretty good
Wait,
ones.
I have 1,000. We have our favorite funny one. Well, there's two favorite funny ones that we say like a lot.
Okay.
You want me to? We're going to say them on three. We'll say one on three. Well, you know, I love. No, you just think of what. Read my mind.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on. I'm trying to think of like, well, okay, we'll do the easy one. The easy to say at the same time. Well, one, two.
I'm going the other way.
Then. Okay, then I'll go the other way.
Yeah. All right. One.
Okay, wait. The easy one or the not easy one?
Just go, man.
All right. One, two, three.
Bam. Bitch, bitch. One
down. I was thinking that one.
Well, listen to me, little bitch, is funny because of us, but I was thinking.
You are so cool.
Yeah, I'll send you a copy. Yeah. Bam. Bitch went down. Bam. Sit. Super, yeah, bitch.
Super bitch. You are so cool. Yeah. But also, I thought the other option was liver, be alone. Liver alone.
Yeah, yeah, liver alone was the easy one. But listen to me, little bitch.
So listen
classic.
To me, little bitch wasn't even one of
top
them. And
three.
I just embarrassed myself.
Top three.
Did we tell the story about Skeet Ulrich now for all of
yeah.
our... Okay.
Yeah. So we went to Monster Mania in Cherry Hill, maybe 2019.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah, pre-COVID. And Skeet was there. And
this is like supposed to be for my birthday.
Yeah.
It was kind of like Kathleen's going to bring me there. She's going to decide what she wants to get me when she's there.
I knew Ski was going to be there. So, but the backstory is that me and Jimmy hate this shit. Like, we love the conventions, but we've tried. What's the guy's from Son's name? That's my favorite one to say. Ryan.
Opie.
Yeah,
call
Ryan
Opie
something.
Sons, but yeah,
Opie. We were going to meet him, and then we were like, what the fuck are we going to say to this guy? Yeah. Like, what are we going to say to make an impact on this person? I don't want to. Like, we know they would love us in real life, but if we're only having 1 minute, we don't want it. Like, we want to make. A splash.
My whole thing when it comes to whether you see a celebrity, quote unquote, in real life or at these comic cons or cons or whatever, is I'm just happy that I have seen them. You know, like I don't really
be in the same room.
I don't need to say anything. Like if I saw someone on the street, I would have to be obsessed. Like probably Neve Campbell, I would be like, "Yo, you're the best," and keep walking or something.
Yeah.
But like to be honest, like I don't need to say anything to Skeet. Like, I could be like, there he is. I saw him. He's my boy. And I'm done with it. And this is exactly why this story is funny. So we're standing there, like, literally for 10 minutes. And it's, like, pretty crowded. And there's a lot of the...
It's like Stranger Things kids.
It was funny because...
It was a good one.
It was... remember the Haunting of Hill House? People were there and you were so pumped and I hadn't seen it yet.
Mm. Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah, and I was like... Yeah. You're going, oh my God, oh my God. And I was like, I hadn't seen it. I don't
know
about
the
it.
Best part of this whole day was we walked by Matt's booth and he said, nice Venom shirt to Jimmy.
It was a Nightcrawler.
Oh, yeah. Nightcrawler. And we did not, like, I didn't have a podcast with him yet.
Yeah,
Jimmy didn't
right.
know him. And I was just like, that was Julie's brother.
Yeah. That's
we walked by and I didn't say hi because I'm a dick.
Yeah. So, I was like, man, that guy's got a great shirt. I'm going to compliment him
thank
on it.
You. Yeah. Appreciate that. So, yeah, we're standing there. We're trying to decide, are we going to do it? And I was like, I don't think I really need to. I'm looking. Looking right at him, it's fine. And then Kathleen goes, you know what, it's for your birthday, let's just freaking do it.
It was like, so cheap. It was like $30 for a picture with him
for two.
That's it, and we could both be in it.
Yeah
So I was like, we're doing that. That's
it. Was
nothing.
Funny because we're waiting in line. I'm just like I'm looking at him, that's good, you know, like do I really need this right now? Like I don't know what to say. And of course, in pure Kathleen style, we get up there and we're both sitting there like, what are we going to say? But Kathleen is way more outgoing and she's like, Skeet, what's up, man? And he loved it. He was like, oh, my God. And I'm kind of just sitting there like all quiet and I'm getting in the picture and I'm just like, big fan, man, big fan. You know, like, and Kathleen's all pumped and like putting her arm around him and shit. And like, so then
so hot
at she's the very
so, hot.
So then at the very end, as we're walking away, Kathleen goes, tell Skeet your favorite line and do it for him. And I'm going, are you freaking kidding me right now? Because first of all, he hears it and he goes, yeah, man, let me hear it. And for number one is it's not even Skeet's line. It's Roger. What's the do you
it's
remember
the voice actor?
The voice actor for Ghostface.
Yeah.
He says this line. And it's the listen to me, you little bitch line. And that's
I'm
the
fun.
Line that's on
listen to me, you little bitch.
When he's on the phone with her, Kathleen, when you're saying, who is it? You know, who is it at her house?
Yeah.
When he's saying. And I'm like sitting there and I'm like, I'm not going to say this line for two reasons. One, it's crazy, especially if I do the voice. And two, it's not even him.
He's so good at
it. So then,
though.
Of course, the way I just go, no, Kathleen, no. Like,
which is just building the pressure that you have to do.
No, it was actually... very funny, like less awkward.
Yeah, no, it was funny in the whole thing, and then we just
I was like, come
away,
on, do
I was
it.
Like, I can't believe you just sandbagged.
I was like do you, little bitch.
Yeah, right.
Listen to me, you little bitch. Wow, I should have said that one. I'm dumb. Yeah. But anyway, okay, so those three. So Liver Alone, an absolute classic, an amazing joke. We've the scene where Sid punches Gail, and then afterwards they're like in pajamas having a sleepover, and Tatum's like just saying, super bitch, you're so cool. We say, you're so cool to each other. You are so cool to each other all the time.
Yeah.
But I would say I always go back to the, like, your stepmother was fucking my father, which is a crazy line to be repeat. Because it doesn't ever come up in real life. Right. I just like that line. I think he, like, with the knife, and
you say that on the first date?
I'm a big mannerisms girl, so I really like when, like, Stu has the gun. He's like, "Now you gotta die," and he's like goofing around with the gun. Like, I like when someone has a mannerism with the line, and it makes me just like, "Ooh, yeah, I love that." But what do you have written?
All right. I just want to say these. I have my answer still, and it probably was the first answer that we talked
Anthony
about.
Anthony Perkins Psycho is another big one for us.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. So that whole thing with Randy is just gold.
Classic.
Yeah.
Do you like scary movies? What's your favorite scary movie? That's not allowed, but that's money too.
Oh, you know what I love is when they're in the, I mean, I could do the whole script right now because I love every line, but when they're in the blockbuster deal and he's and then he's like getting gripped up and he's like, "It's the millennium. Their motives are incidental."
Yeah.
I love that. And they're like, "See, that's too. Motives are incidental." Yeah. Like, I fucking love that because they literally.
That's their answer.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so good.
All right. This one is up there for me, okay? Now, Sid, don't you blame the movies. Movies don't
don't you blame the movies, Sid.
Movies make psychos more creative. That's so up good. There.
Yeah.
And there's actually been, like, controversies where people are like, Scream is making people killers in real life. Like,
yeah.
They're like, homaging Scream when they're committing their crimes.
It makes it easier for you to catch them because you're like, all right, we got to protect every principal in this area.
Yeah, right. Just basically, look for all the flagpoles, see if there's any principals hanging.
Basically, any line that Stu says in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's in
is
there. Yeah,
fucking phenomenal.
Yep,
yeah, I think you already said. I mean, the mom and dad are going to be so mad at me. Line
hit me with the phone, Dick.
You hit me with the phone.
That one, and I know that. I read it was an ad lib. He actually did accidentally hit him with the phone.
It's like
it wasn't supposed to be in the script.
Got me too deep, man. I think I'm dying here, man.
I feel a little woozy here.
That's another good one. Him spitting and like a little woozy.
That whole thing with Matthew Lillard is money.
Yeah, absolutely.
I never thought I'd be so happy to be a virgin, Randy. That's classic. That's classic. My mom and dad are gonna be so mad at me. We already said that. Now, I like this one, too. You should never say who's there. Don't you watch scary movies? That's just classic right in the very beginning of the movie. No, please don't kill me, Mr. Goface. I want to be in the sequel.
Wait, you know what's a good one that's on the shirt that I bought? It is Sid's whole thing on the phone while she wakes up from that nap and she's on the phone with Ghostface and she's saying, like, the girl with the big big breasts running up the stairs when she just go out the front door and then she does that.
Yep,
is
exactly.
Chef's kiss.
You hit me with the phone, Dick. Like, that classic. One is the... I'll laugh the most at that one.
Yeah.
I laugh. It's not the best, but it's definitely... I'm feeling a little woozy here is coming up.
Okay, two things. I'm very excited to see this in theaters. Alex, my girlfriend, is coming. She's never seen it fully. I think she's only seen it like a couple bits and pieces here and there. I'm dying to see what she laughs at, and it's going to kill me to not quote every line because I'm going to let her have it without me bulldozing the entire movie.
I'm going to tell you, I've gone to some of these screenings before. And like when I didn't know I was going to see Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back when I went and saw Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. I thought I was just going to see the reboot. Turned out to be a double feature.
Okay.
That crowd was very happy to yell out all the quotes.
Yeah, to be loud. Yeah. I'm sure.
Because I don't think
I think
your girlfriend is the only person going to this screening that doesn't intimately know this movie.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That, like, not to jump around when we debate 2 versus 4, but 4... when they're having the stabathon and they are saying the words to stab one, like repeating it and screaming it, I'm like, this is excellent.
That's us going to the Woodsboro house and going
literally
to the party on October, whatever you said, and watching a screamathon.
Yeah,
you
hear
me? Every single line
exactly.
Every single
movie. And it's so well done and it's so nostalgic and in such a weird meta way that I don't think they could have done it any perfectly, if that spoils my 2 versus 4 debate. But anyway,
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Yeah, I just love that one.
The corn syrup line.
Yep.
And that's it.
He's saying the whole script.
So that's it. Those are the ones
that
I just
Gut
couldn't.
You Like a Fish wasn't even on that Scream Rant list.
Or
Liver Alone.
Yeah.
I call shenanigans on that Scream Rant list.
I agree.
You know what does come up in conversation sometimes? I say, I want to see what your insides look like. I like that one.
That was on there. And the list, I'm only taking pictures of my favorites. So it could have been. I'm not sure. I believe though the gut you like a fish was not, but I want to see what your insides look like was.
Yeah, it's such a good
one. And
that's
another money line.
That I've said multiple times about multiple things.
I'm going right here. I'm just putting it all on the table. We all go a little mad sometimes. It was an iconic scene.
Yeah.
Shows that Billy
turn.
Yeah, it's the turn. It's just literally the mind blowing scene. It's unbelievable.
My only question with that is, should it count if it's literally just him quoting the movie Psycho?
Well, that's why he says, yeah. I mean, I like the way he says Anthony Perkins Psycho. Like, he's crazy.
And then he cracks his neck.
Yeah.
So crack still freaks me out.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I'm hoping that was put in post production.
Oh, we gotta give Gail. I remember to turn the safety off that time.
That was on the Screen Rant.
What did she call him? A dick, a bastard, or a
bastard? I'm pretty sure.
Asshole. I can't remember. But I love that because Gail has some really good lines too.
She does.
There's not a poorly written character in this entire movie. Every person, like, not only do they have good lines of dialogue, but like, sometimes when you have a script where every character is quippy, they also all sound exactly the same, but like the quotes are appropriate for their personality type, which is awesome.
I want to give Dewey a line too, because Dewey, like, if you've seen the Scary Movie parody of Scream, which is the first one, they make Dewey like literally, they do a bad caricature of him.
Right.
He ends up being like a sexy man at the end. And I always think, like, why would someone like Gale Weathers go after Dewey, the laughing stock cop? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I love the scene where she's like, so you do watch my show? And he said, I said it was 25. I was 24 for a whole year or something like that. Like the demographic
that is
age.
A really fucking baller line right
there. It's sexy, and I'm like, that's the line. That's the one that makes me go,
he's always the man. I don't care what anyone says. Like,
totally. I mean,
he's apparently unkillable.
Right. I mean
they said that it was written like he was supposed to die, and when he gets stabbed in the back, and then they just decided they at the very end to show him because they wanted to bring him back.
I just like that that's become like the theme of every Scream movie from
Get
that
scissors
point
in
on.
The back, and then
Scream 5. Yeah, they're literally like, Dewey's just like, I'm here till Scream 32, man.
Yeah, like, yeah, right. Well, that's a good intro. Let's skip.
Oh, wait, you didn't give me your answer.
What
your favorite line?
Yeah, what's the
the number one? I'm gonna say, oh, fuck, we're gonna be here for a while. I can't make a decision. We didn't say anything from the opening with Drew too. I like a lot of the ghost. Yeah, I like a lot of the ghost face lines.
I said the when she's saying who's there.
I like. I'm sorry, that's the wrong answer.
Yeah.
I think you're gonna say the one that my cousin Melissa used to always quote. It's like, I've got a boyfriend and he's big.
Yeah,
and he'll kick
football.
The shit out of you.
Yeah,
that one's really good. No, I'm gonna say probably the whole beat about you want a motive. And then, like,
monologue right there.
Yeah, like that whole monologue. Okay. I'm going to go with, like, because that's another big reveal. You're some other's fucking my father, and that's the reason my mom left me, blah, blah, blah.
Yep. All right.
Enter Scream 2. Billy's mom.
Spoiler alert.
God, if you're this far in and you haven't seen the Scream movies, what the fuck are you doing?
Well,
2v4.
Your girlfriend apparently has it, so.
She ain't going to watch this.
She's supportive. Watch, got it.
She ain't watching me.
Yeah,
talk
she
about
doesn't
this.
Support us. Then
I go on rants like this all the time. Better believe that.
All right, guys, one more pause here because I have another book recommendation from our new friend Richard McCrowan. Salvation Mountain. College professor Jeffrey Cole and his three student assistants travel to the deep backwoods of the Appalachian Mountains in northern Georgia to do research on Father Divine, a rural preacher that 100 years ago created a fanatical religious cult that overwhelmed and murdered the mountain people in the dense backwoods of Salvation Mountain. But they find that the zealous fires are still burning strong and that the wages of sin is death. The novel Salvation Mountain by Richard McCrowan is available on Amazon, paperback, ebook, and also in a powerful audiobook on Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Salvation Mountain by Richard McCrowan. If religion is the opiate of the people, then this is the crack cocaine.
Okay. 2v4. Not much of a debate on this couch. I think we both agree that 4 is incredible and beats 2. We both love 2.
Yeah. I think that 4 is better to me. I think that people definitely
he's covering his ass.
No, I think people definitely forget how good 2 was, especially if you're going to look at like Rotten Tomatoes, and you're also going to look at the fact that it did just as well as the first one did almost.
That is 1998. Like, it was very soon after, right?
They literally got all of them done in like a 5-year span.
Yeah, it was the first
three. They should have took a little more time on the third one.
Well, no, the whole problem with the third one was that the script leaked and they were like, we're going to rewrite the whole thing.
Okay, so here's my thoughts. I think 2 was excellent. I thought it lost a lot of the quirk, which made 1 so great. 2 is just as great. I love a sequel. I love the scene where they're going over the rules. I love a rule in the class. That's like my dream, is to take a film class where people are actually debating in the class like that. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. But I think they did it better in the fourth one, because 1, 2, and 3 came out so close, and 3 went down. And I was young, so I didn't see them in theaters, whatever.
Right.
But I think I was already a mega fan when the 3 were out for a while. And when they decided they were coming out with 4 and had all new rules for this, like 10 years later, it's like, it is not the same as 1996. Right. There's all new rules. It's the reboot. Yes, exactly. And I thought that was so smart and very funny. The cast was incredible. I thought the twists were good. I remember being in theaters and being like, who the fuck is it? Like, I was totally unsure. I think that Drew, like, having to answer the trivia questions in 1 is one of my favorite parts. Right. I think Hayden Panettiere ripping off the all the movies is Emmy worthy. I mean, Oscar worthy. Where is her Oscar for Scream 4? I think it was different enough that it felt fresh, but nostalgic enough that it still felt like Scream.
Listen, to me, Scream 1 was revolutionary in every way. Yeah. I think that the first time you find out that there's 2 killers, that is revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
The second movie comes out and they do it, and I thought they did it pretty well, but at that time I'm not going to go, oh, that's crazy, because I kind of assumed there was going to be 2.
Yeah.
I still think that the scene where she has to climb over Ghostface after the car crash is one of the scariest ones about all 4 movies.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
So, I mean, I definitely think that 2 is a really good movie, but to Kathleen's point, you know, they got very Scream-like and ballsy, to be honest, the way that they decided how they were going to do this movie, because when Scream 4 came out, everyone thought that it was going to be a new trilogy, and what's her name, Emma Roberts, was going to take over as the new Sydney, or as the new final girl, and they literally could have just done that if they were a lesser movie, but instead they blow everybody's minds and they make Emma Roberts the actual main villain.
Yeah.
You know, and they base it off the first movie, you know, you're the Stew, I'm the Billy. And I just thought that was, again, Kathleen said, you know, she was shocked. I was shocked, and I'm not very shocked often anymore. I mean, it's been 10 years since this movie came out. Unfortunately, I did not get to see it in theaters because I was at Penn State and there's only like 1 theater, but I watched it. Cheated. Watched it online.
I saw the last Harry Potter in theaters. Make a way. You find a way. Find your beach, baby.
Yeah. I should have found a way. I'm a little embarrassed, to be honest. But the blend of the old characters with the new characters, I really hope Scream 5 does the same. You expect it to be like the passing of the torch with Nev and all those people and Dewey. And, you know, maybe some of them would have stayed around, but the main characters were going to stay is Emma and Hayden Panettiere.
It's crazy that none of them.
I guess someone has to be part 2.
Right.
So here's my thing. I love part 4. In general, I think that they are head to head at all times. I used to hate part 2. When I saw part 2 for the first time, I thought that the reveal of Billy's mom was stupid.
Yeah.
And obviously, as a kid who identified with Randy, the death of Randy absolutely destroyed me as a human being.
They brought him back for the third one, okay?
Let's not talk about the third one. But upon multiple rewatches, I've really learned, I think it's a combination of rewatching Scream 2 and also becoming a fan of bad movies. Hell, the bad movie Bible is sitting on the coffee table where we're recording. The key thing, and Kathleen brought it up, the scene in the classroom when they're talking about why sequels suck.
Yep.
Randy rattles off all these reasons why sequels are always disappointing and bad. And then Scream 2 goes out of its way to hit every single beat that he brought. And I thought that that's how you up the meta, is that you intentionally almost sabotage your movie a little bit.
Right, right.
To hit the meta beats. So that's my positives on Scream 2. My negative on Scream 4, and this was actually discussed on an episode of Horror Movie Night, is knowing how the movie was supposed to end and what it was supposed to set up.
Oh, what was it?
So, the original ending, according to Kevin Williamson, that he had written, is Sydney dies.
Yeah.
And Emma Roberts gets away with it. And his setup was that Scream 5 was going to be a combination of Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer, where a copycat killer is doing everything and Emma Roberts knows it's not her because she was the killer the last time and realizes that someone knows that she did it and got away and is trying to frame her. And he's like, I just thought it'd be really interesting to make a movie where your protagonist is also a villain that you want to see get caught simultaneously.
Wow, that's actually very cool. And you saying that sounds great in concept. I think what actually happened with 4, and maybe you know why they changed it.
The studio told him to.
Yeah.
Like, he literally said that all the hospital stuff was added after. Like, the shot where Sydney's getting pulled into the ambulance, like, that was the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no. we need more.
Right. You have to make a decision. You have to decide if Emma Roberts is not going to be the killer and she's the new protagonist, or you're going to make her the main protagonist and Sydney gets away, or, you know, survives. She's still the final girl. You can't have Emma. I would have been okay if Emma Roberts somehow. No, actually, no, I wouldn't have been. I was gonna say if she didn't die, but no, she. There's no way you don't get caught at that point.
She wanted the fame, and I don't want her to have that fame or live to see that fame. Fuck her.
I guess my other complaint, and I haven't watched Scream 4 in a little bit, so maybe I'm forgetting somebody. But one of the things that I did like about the Scream movies is, as much as I hate it that they killed Randy, they killed Randy. You know what I mean? Yeah, and like, and in Scream 3, as terrible as that movie is, they kill Cotton. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you need to always up the ante by killing one of the main characters. And Scream 4, it's like, we love Sydney, Dewey, and Gale so much that it's like, there's a little bit of tension gone if you don't take down one of them.
Yeah, you know, but I will argue though that the beginning I thought was awesome, where they just keep being
hysterical. Again, this is not, I don't like Scream.
Trust me, I know what you're saying.
It's Scream 2, Scream 4, Scream 3.
No, yeah, like, 100%. So
there are some plot holes, like Billy's mom. I guess you can argue that Sydney never maybe met Billy's mom. I think she says, like, I've seen pictures of you. You lost a lot of weight or something like that. Like, you wouldn't guess Billy's mom, because why would it be Billy's mom?
Yeah.
Wouldn't someone notice her? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it feels plot holy.
Right.
Well, it's like you can get away with it, but you're really going to act like a reporter and be up in her business constantly.
But, you know, also, she's never, I don't think she's ever in a scene with Sydney. She's always with Gale, who wouldn't.
Yeah.
No, Billy's mom.
She's always putting the recorder in Gail's face, but I don't know how much she's actually with Sydney.
Because I thought the same thing the first time I watched it. I'm like, this is ridiculous. How would she not know? And then I'm like, oh, because they're never in a scene together in the entire movie.
Yeah. It's funny. I forget the other plot hole I was thinking of, but in the fourth one, I was going to give Dewey props for even realizing the matching wounds thing, but it wasn't. It was Gail. Gail's like, how would she know that we had matching wounds? And he's like, Dewey? And like sprints in and gets bombed.
Dewey is super brave, but not the smartest.
He's just clumsy. He's a clumsy cop. But yeah, 2 is still incredible. And I agree, Jimmy. I think that probably is the biggest, like, hold your breath moment. The car scene, the car crash. Yep. I'm always like, just rip the mask off, see who it is. Yeah. What the fuck? But yeah.
We've taken a lot of shits on part 3, but I do want to give a shout out. I do think that part 3 has one of the most brilliant moments in the whole series, which is Sydney running through the set of her old house.
Hell yeah.
That scene is incredible. Petrifying. And I wish that the rest of the movie was as good as that.
And I also love the scene where Ghostface, it's the costume area, and he comes out of the costume.
There's so many good ideas in Scream 3. It's just the execution and everything else is very rushed, and it's clear.
The thing that sucks is we don't know what they actually wanted to do here, because Roman being a thing and him saying, like, oh, I'm your long lost brother and your half brother, and I orchestrated everything. That's why I said, let's get to Maureen later, because Roman comes out in Scream 3 and basically says, I recruited Billy and I told Billy to get a fall guy. So that's how Billy and Stu come about. And I basically threw him at, you know, told him the deal and basically threw him at Maureen so that they could kill her.
I think that lessens the first movie.
I think so, too.
Yeah. So,
like, no, I want Billy and Stu to have concocted this themselves. I wanted them to murder Maureen out of pure hatred and then think a year later and come back and kill more people. Like, I don't want it to be like someone else orchestrating it behind the scenes. I want it to just be like dumb teenagers making dumb decisions.
Yeah.
But the other plot hole I was thinking of, which is actually very cool, the Cotton Weary death scene. So it's like, his, for anyone who doesn't remember, it's like his wife comes home and she's hearing Cotton's voice. And that, right, I feel, is the plot hole. It's like, I get that there's technology, but this was also 20 years ago.
Yeah, we don't have that technology in 2021. Yeah. Where I can probably, yeah.
But I love the idea that when he is there, she's scared to death and winging a golf club at him because she's like, what the fuck? She's so freaked out. And I really love that. I think that was well done. And I didn't love the Cotton stuff in the second movie, like in the beginning when he's like threatening her in the library.
Yeah.
I didn't like any of that. And I get it. Like, he straight up didn't do it. He was just banging Maureen, but just wrong place, wrong time kind of guy. But yeah, I don't actually.
He does the right thing in the end, though.
He does. And I mean, I like Cotton. I understand his motivations. For a year, his life was taken away from him from a false accusation. And all he's asking for is like, this interview, which will take an hour of your time, will give me enough money to get my shit back together after losing everything. And you won't just do this one thing, which would totally, I would completely be able to forgive you. I could get back on my feet. We would never have to see each other again.
Yeah.
Like, I totally get like that frustration where it's like, look, you ruined my life and there's a real easy way to fix that and you won't do it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. He was a tough character to write because it seems like at some points they want you to think like to not sympathize with him, and then you do. It's kind of back and forth the way he's being written. I do want to give props to Timothy Oliphant, though. I loved his portrayal at the end.
Yeah.
Just being crazy guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Obviously, young version of someone who gets real big later. But I think it's important to what Matt said, where it's like, if we're saying 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm saying 1, 2A, 2B, and then 3, meaning like rating them.
So this guy is always doing A's and B's.
I like A's and
B's.
He
can't commit.
Man,
but he's non-committal.
Speaking of engaged, my fiance's never seen Scream. She won't watch any scary movies.
I bought her a ticket.
Yeah, she won't be going though. Still,
Dick.
Her a couple Halloweens ago. Every Halloween, there's a couple movies I always watch, and one of them is obviously the original Halloween.
Love it.
And I'm thinking, you know, it was made a long time ago.
You
can't. You know, if she's
suck it up.
If she doesn't like the gore and stuff, well,
there's barely any in there.
Yeah, exactly. It's the original, so it's not really there. A long time ago, it's obviously fake. So she made it like an hour in, maybe, and then she was like, "I'm done." I'm like, "Oh my god, you're getting to the best part."
Yeah,
but she quit.
I can't wait for the new Halloween.
Oh yeah, I know.
We seen that?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I go Scream 4, Scream 2, definitely a great movie. Scream 3, it's a shame. Let's hope Scream 5. Really a shame that they're not letting it come out in October, but we'll see it in January and see how it goes. Our boy Huey from The Boys is in it.
Love that.
It's a direct sequel to Scream 4, I heard. So they're not really rebooting too much.
That's sick. Love to see it. I miss Nev. I need her back.
I just think it's a crazy. I've always thought it was crazy. Maybe it's just because I love Scream so much. But all these movies that just keep getting remakes and reboots, and Scream really took so long to do. And Scream 4 happened, and I guess it didn't do as good as they thought. And they canned it for a while, and then they brought MTV Scream. Stay tuned because I'm going to talk about MTV Scream on Binstown. But I thought that was pretty good.
It was so good.
Season 3, don't watch it. Not worth it at all.
One of the worst.
Couldn't even get through it.
Season of television I've ever seen.
Season 1 is very good. It's campy. It's slasher. It's like, it's very Scream. We got our own version of Randy and Noah, and I think it's really well done.
It was really good, but I'm just surprised that Scream 5 took this long, you know?
Yeah, I mean, 2010 was Scream 4. That's crazy.
But again, the flip side of that is I'd rather them take all the time they need to make a good movie than give us another Scream 3. You know what I mean?
Like, 100%.
A rush, I'm just like, saying, we got to hit this date. Let's get this thing out.
No, you're 100% right. Like, I'm actually surprised. When I say I'm surprised there's not Scream 8 and they're all bad.
Yeah.
You know, like they do with a lot of the other franchises.
Did you know? I just learned this recently. Friday the 13th released 8 movies in 9 years.
Jeez.
Like that's insane.
Yeah, that is crazy.
And then you wonder why like half of them are unwatchable.
Damn, I love Scream. This was great. This got me pumped for spooky season.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
It's gonna be a Scream.
It's gonna be a Scream.
It's gonna be a Scream,
spooky
baby.
Season just started.
I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. If we didn't even say that.
I know.
One.
They're all good. Every line is good. I've never had a movie that I can quote. I think Easy A is the only equivalent I could say where I feel like I want to quote every line.
Yeah. Well, we could probably quote the entire movie, but
next time we'll do a reenactment instead.
Happy 25 years of Scream.
We love you.
And what, 1 year we'll do every 25 years of Scream 2?
Yeah.
I mean, if you two are up to it, I'll also go see it in theaters. We could do another one of these to discuss Scream 5 after
yeah,
it's been
released.
Yeah,
let's do that. Yeah, definitely. For sure.
I'll put that in the books.
I mean, we should get as many people as we can to go see Scream 5's fucking.
Make sure it gets the nice box office.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So
I'll see it every day.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yep, exactly. Right. Everyone wear a mask.
Wear a mask, baby. Love y'all.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.